Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the Chairshot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Friday night. That's right. You heard me correctly. Friday night, May 5th, 2025. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, recording on an odd night because reasons. These things pop up. These things happen. And we're recording on a Friday night. I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. Got a fun show for you here tonight. Going to go around the room and introduce this cast of characters like I do each and every week. Starting with the host of the Rob the Genius podcast. He is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data. He's the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling podcast. He's the king of the power nap, Ray Cash's daddy, and the man with the golden shovel and a fresh haircut. Mr. Rob, sir, how's your week?
Oh, not too bad. Actually, it's been a very good week. I'm going to shameless plug in here for my daughter, Dahlia. She graduated from high school this week.
Congratulations, Dahlia. That's awesome. And that's this weekend, the actual graduation?
It was actually last night. That's why.
Oh, it was last night.
Yeah, it was last night.
Oh, okay. So that's why we didn't record last night, because the actual graduation was last night. And that's awesome, man. Congratulations to her. That's a big milestone. And that's exciting when the kids graduate, man.
It is. And we're so proud of her. And because, I mean, I don't want to put all our business out there, but it's been a journey, and you know, she had to persevere through a lot of stuff. And so we're just happy to see her get to the finish line, and we're just so proud of her.
Yeah, good for her, and good for you guys for sticking with it. You and I have talked privately about our kids and things like that. And you know, when they make it to that finish line, it's a big deal for them and for you, and that's awesome, man. And sitting third chair tonight, Jason is on assignment this week, but we threw up the pod signal and he answered. My podcasting slut in crime, the host of the DWI podcast, is the commissioner of Dare Americas, and I probably said that wrong. He is Point of Contact Tunney, PC Tunney. Sir, welcome to Mindless Wrestling Podcast, and thank you for coming off the bench tonight.
It is always a pleasure to be here. Miss Jason, I always love to see him as well. But yes, we are the sluttiest of the Chairshot Radio Network, DJ and I. We do a lot. Dave's right behind us. He is also a slut. Rob's down to fornicate every once in a while. He jumps around. But Rob, it's great to see Rob. my fellow, one of my fellow fantasy football leaguers, Rob, is in the Chairshot Fantasy Football League. So, it's a really important draft there. My sister is 7.5 years younger than me. And when she graduated high school, it was the night before there was a little party. And I think their graduation, for some reason, was on a Saturday. And I walked up to her and I said, here's $100 for your graduation. Oh, if I don't have to come to your ceremony tomorrow, here's another $100. What do you do? And she took she took both hundreds and said, have fun golfing tomorrow. It worked. Oh, it worked. Great. It worked. But guess what I did on my 30th birthday? The day of my 30th birthday, I drove from Milwaukee to Madison and spent my entire 30th birthday watching her graduate from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And I wouldn't have had it any other way. So.
Oh, that's crazy, man. I was in Madison back in – I had a kid I went to school with who actually moved – he was from there originally. And I visited Madison for about a week or so back in 90 – got out to be about 93, 94.
Fun town?
Yeah, fun little town. Fun little party town.
Yeah, you were of age.
It was a good time.
You were obviously of age at the time or old enough to
Oh, yeah. Yeah. God, I was
– State Street is legendary.
Yes, it was a good time. They treated me very well there. The people were awesome.
Oh, nice. Oh, I have a gambling story, Tony.
Uh-oh.
Let's hear it.
Okay. Wednesday night, I jumped on because it was Denver and who was Denver playing? It was Oklahoma City, and it was a blowout.
That was a blowout game?
Yeah, so it was too late to get on the line because the line was up to like 31 at half. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't going to take that. But the over-under was 254.5.
Oh, that.
And I jumped on the under because I figured they were going to call the dogs off in the second half. 254.5. Guess what they combined for?
Well, it's 149 to what? 117?
Yeah. So I jumped on under 254.5. They combined for 255.
So it was 149 to 106.
Something like that. Yeah. And
I'd hate to be a fly on the wall in your house.
You should be on Bad Beats with Scott Van Pelt, my friend.
I know, man.
Shout out to my boy Rob up there in D.C. Check out how this went down. Yeah, 149-106. 55 points in the fourth quarter. 57 in the third.
Jesus. Oh. Speaking of sports, basketball, and Jason, did I read this right in the little chat thread there, Rob? Did the Celtics shit the bed the other night?
They're down 2-0.
Yes, two games in a row they gave up a 20-point lead, so us Knicks fans are celebrating right now.
I was really hoping to have Jason on so I could bust his balls about that, because he was crying the blues in the chat the other night. He was miserable.
Yeah, see, I don't want to say anything because I don't want to jinx it, right?
Yeah,
I don't want to, because if I talk too much shit and the Celtics come back and win, then that's not going to work.
Between him and our brother to the podcast, Jay Powell, dude, Jay was dropping F bombs on Twitter. You know, Jay don't drop no F bombs.
No.
So for him to be dropping F bombs, you know, he was stressed in that game.
And look, if we do survive this, then next we might play Indiana. So then me and our buddy Jace are going to be going at it.
It's going to be a mindless wrestling podcast fight over basketball. This is great.
Well, I mean, take it back to the 2021 finals where Ray's Phoenix Suns and my Milwaukee Bucks. Well, Ray, I guess you got more than me and Rob. We're your two dads now.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. All right, well, we didn't come here to talk to you tonight about basketball or our friends lamenting of their basketball team. We came here to talk some wrestling. We got a little bit to talk about this week. We do want to get serious in the first half of the show. We do this about this time every year. We've been kind of warning you guys for months that this was going to happen, the annual WWE Culling of the Herd. The releases happened right after WrestleMania, and this has become pretty cyclical, pretty predictable. This time around, there were some names on the list that were pretty big. We're going to kick the list around a little bit, talk about some of those names, and talk about the releases in general, because I think there's a lot of negative discourse about this and a lot of things a lot of people just don't understand. And the dirtiest of the dirt sheets don't help with a lot of the backstage rumors as to why this one was released, why that one was released, why this happened, why that happened. We're going to try and sift through some of the rubble here and make sense of it and just try to have a sensible talk about the current crop of releases here in WWE and why these things happen and, you know, how, what to expect moving forward. I'm going to kick it over to Tunney here, who's got the list of names of the people who were released here within the last week. Tunney, take it over from here.
So we can start with, this happened on May 2nd. We can start with the main roster. These are 90-day non-compete clauses upon release. Braun Strowman, Shayna Baszler, Dakota Kai, Katana Chance, and Caden Carter. We go to NXT. These are 30-day non-compete clauses. Cora Jade, Gigi Dolan, Eddie Thorpe, Riley Osborne, Jakara Jackson, Oro Mensah, Javier Bernal, Danny Palmer, Joe Coffey, Mark Coffey, and Wolfgang. So basically Gallus. And unconfirmed pending the verification as far as the compete clause goes. It looks like Shotzi's been released as well.
Yeah, so she said that basically they're not renewing her contracts. Or when her contract is up in a couple of months, she's free to go, basically.
Yeah. Well, before we get into the individuals, let's talk about the releases in general. Because, like you said, everybody acts shocked every year. Like, we're now what, as far as this feeling like a big deal, this is what, year five, year six of calling the herd? And that might even be conservative. We may be deeper into it than that. Well, but just in my head, I'm coming up with about 5 to 6 years of this now.
Well, the only years they didn't do it, they didn't do it in 2019 because that's when AEW was starting, and then they didn't want anybody to jump ship.
Right.
So they didn't do it then, and they didn't do it in 22 because that's when Hunter took over and he started bringing people back.
Okay.
But other than that, I mean, and then when they were building the roster, when they first did the brand split, they for a few years they were busy building the roster, so they kept, you know, they were hiring people, they weren't getting rid of anybody. But for the most part, like I came back in 2012, I know like 12, 13, 14, 15, they released people. And then 20, 21, 23, and 24, they released people. So most of the time they've been doing it. And we've been warning you guys just because, you know, we've been saying they can't sign all your favorite people who are free. They can't call up everybody in NXT who you want them to call up. And they can't keep everybody who's already there. Like, they can't do all three. Okay, doesn't matter how, you know, I don't care how much money they're making. Like, they're just in space to do that. And, you know, they've had as many as 200 people under contract at one point at some times. And it's just not going, you know, you just can't.
And it's not sustainable.
No, and if you've played, you know, Universe mode or GM mode on WWE 2K, you know you can't use all those people.
Yeah.
You can set up Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and a couple other shows, and you still can't use everybody.
Right.
It's just impossible. So, you know, we always warn you guys, like, okay, I know you want them to sign your favorite people who are out working somewhere else, but there's another end to that. There's another side to that, you know?
Right. Well, and I think it's healthy for the industry for this cycle because there's some really good talent on this list. There's some people that I'm going to break down and talk about a little bit individually that I wish had stayed. Unfortunately, they're gone. But it's healthy in an industry where we now have an AEW. TNA is picking up steam. MLW is out there. GCW exists. There are other places to go. I mean, for what it's worth, NWA is there. So there are places for people to land. And I think when you send talented people back out into the world and you don't hold them under one umbrella, the industry as a whole benefits from that, you know, because now these shows will get somebody who, hey, ex-WWE superstar Shotzi, she's already, my local guy has already reached out to her, like on Twitter, he reached out to her yesterday and she responded. So it's very possible I could get Shotzi in my own backyard within the next 60 days or so. So I'm going to kick it over to Tunney, just a general thoughts about the releases and then we'll go through the list here in a minute.
So it's so normal that unless it's very top and surprising, top tier and surprising, DP and I don't even talk about it anymore. Ray and Andrew and I talked about it on Pod is War this week. And I'm with DJ. It's good for the talent. It's good for the fans. It's good for the wrestling business in general, right? Like, you can't sustain the same roster for an exorbitant amount of time. It doesn't work that way. Things get stale. People get frustrated and left sitting on the sidelines. Instead, let them go somewhere else so that maybe if they do want to come back, fine. If they don't, they can make something. Like, it's such a rich time for talent to be able to have a lot of options that pay pretty decent money, right? Like, not everybody's going to pay Tony Khan and WWE money. But you can make some decent money in TNA and NWA and New Japan and MLW and Evolve and some other ones that I'm not even mentioning. Or you can go out and be the king of the indies like, you know, Matt Cardona, who won't stop talking about trying to come back to WWE. And maybe if he does for a couple months, he might come back to WWE. But that option is out there as well. So I think it's healthy. I think it's good. Do people get in their feelings? Yeah. Do I get in my feelings? Yeah. It's to be expected. Everything's personal. We're people, right?
Yeah.
But you gotta. Sometimes you just gotta sit for a second, and maybe it's longer than a second, and think about how to progress in a positive way moving forward. But I agree with you for the most part. It's in general, everybody involved. It's good for.
It's healthy for them, and you don't feel it in the time because everybody. You know, they all had the dream, go to WWE. And some of them, that dream turns into everything that they ever thought it would be. For others, it's just not, you know, it just doesn't end up being that. And that's okay. And yeah, as I say, this is mostly an amazing crop of talent. The business is littered literally with the bodies of incredible wrestlers. People who are incredible at performing the wrestling moves. But we all know what WWE is. We all know what WWE is looking for. And while, yes, the wrestling is still very, very important, they're also looking for people who connect with the audience on a certain level in a certain way. And not everybody, no matter how good you are bell to bell, is going to do that the way WWE wants them to do. And they may look at somebody who's kind of connecting and go, I've already got three of those. What makes you different? You know, show me what's different. So I want to kick around the most notable one to me, and only noticeable because they've been very heavily involved in WWE TV for the better part of the last 2 to 3 years, and that's Dakota Kai. Dakota was, you know, obviously part of Damage Control, and then Damage Control started to go their own way. You know, they had the split with Becky, and then Asuka's been injured for what feels like a year. Kairi Sane's injured. She's not on TV. So it's been just kind of Dakota Kai and Io Sky kind of holding Damage Control together, and Io, they strapped the rocket to. And she left Dakota in the dust. As a wrestler, I love Dakota Kai. And she's, like I said, she's been important. She was part of the Women's Intercontinental Championship tournament all the way up to the finals. And we've talked about this on this show. Up until recently, I felt like the wrong woman won. I felt like Dakota Kai should have won that tournament because I wasn't totally sold on Lyra Valkyria. That being said, I'm starting to turn the corner on Lyra. So, you know, maybe I was wrong, but this one to me is the biggest standout because Shotzi's been off TV like what feels again like forever, aside from like doing appearances with the team down. I forget the GG, and we'll get to her in a minute, and Tatum down in NXT. So there's a lot going on there, but yeah, to probably kick it over to you first. Dakota Kai, is this one like shocking to you, or did you kind of see the writing on the wall here?
A little bit of both. Because when they didn't have her win the Intercontinental title tournament, I started to think, because I figured if they were going to pull the trigger, that was going to be it. That was the time to do it. And then once they started to push EO as a solo act, then I figured, and then Dakota was also off TV for a while. I was kind of like, oh boy, yeah, I can see where this is going. Because, you know, they're pushing EO heavy as a solo act now. And they didn't, you know, they didn't put the belt on Dakota when they had the chance. So she's kind of stuck in limbo here. And so I kind of figured that, yeah, this might be happening. And it did. I guess I was a little bit surprised because I thought maybe she was, since she was somebody that, you know, Hunter specifically brought back or brought in, I thought that maybe, you know, he wouldn't be so quick to you know, to let her go. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of like musical chairs. The music stopped playing. She didn't have a seat. So
yeah.
And then also she's got some really bad luck with injuries also.
That's the other thing.
So I guess I'm not totally surprised. I guess it bums me out because she's always been one of my favorites. And so it bums me out to see her get released.
Yeah. All right. Tony, you got any thoughts on this, on Dakota Kai?
I would say out of everyone on the list, it would be, you know, if they gave you this list and they said, okay, one person didn't get released, who do you think it was? One person's on there and didn't really get released. And you'd think it'd be her. I think the reason she got released, I think it's twofold. You know, and there can be multiple reasons. We just don't have anything for you. We don't want you here anymore. We want you to go out and make something for yourself and see if you can come back like that. Or you're hurt all the time. And I think it's the latter, too. Like, Dave and I talked about this, too. And he's like, you know, she needs to stay healthy for a long period of time before she really can come back and say something about it. Does it suck? Is she talented? Am I a fan of hers? All of those things. Yes, yes, yes. But it's not a surprise. Like, get healthy. Find a style that works for you. And if you want to come back, pull a Drew McIntyre. If you don't, go find another company and go make a bunch of money, because you're going to get money somewhere else. This is one of the people you don't have to feel bad for. There's money out there for her to make, right? It's not like she lost her lifeline, okay?
Right.
So,
yeah.
I don't know enough to say whether or not I would have kept her if they came to me and said, we need to cut this much talent and this much money or whatever, the way they do it. But I, like I said, she's talented. I'm a fan of hers, and there's money for her to make.
Let me piggyback off what you just said, because this was a thought, and I said this to Rob and our friends in our little Discord chat. If somebody brought me this list and said, hey, look, you're the last guy to ask, look at this list and give me a compelling argument as to why we should keep anybody on it, aside from, gee, boss, I really like them. As much as I like half of this roster, I can't make a compelling argument. As again, like you said, with Dakota, I love her to death. I've loved her since the first Mae Young Classic, but between the injuries and between her not establishing, and the injuries are part of this, with her being off TV, not establishing herself as a bankable star, it makes it very hard for me to sit here and say, gee, you should have kept her, like I said, other than, God, I really like her. You know, they need an argument better than that, or else I'm going to be looking for a job, too. so, you know, I don't want to go down the whole list. Go ahead.
It's funny you say the bad argument of, gosh, I really like her. And the comeback from WWE for that is, and if only there was another 500,000 people that felt the same way you do, but there isn't.
Well, and that's my point. Dakota's last match was on Raw a few weeks before Mania, like a month or so before Mania. She came out and she had a singles match against someone. I don't even remember who it was. She won the match. It was a great match. She looked good. The crowd sat on their hands. The crowd sat on their hands when she got introduced. The crowd sat on their hands when she won. And at the end of the day, they hear that. You know, management hears that. And when you're out there and somebody, I love Dakota Kai, obviously not, you know. So, you know, the fans have to take a certain amount of accountability for some of that, too. If you love these people, support them and let management know, hey, I really like this talent. A couple other notables. I don't want to go down the whole list because I've got some broad stroke statements over a couple people. Gigi Dolin and Shotzi both being released. A little shocking to me. I thought of everybody on the list, Shotzi was probably the most marketable. She had a unique look, a unique style. She had the tank. She had the helmet. There was a lot of really good moving parts and pieces that I don't think WWE ever capitalized on with her. So I was a little shocked that they let Shotzi go, but also not shocked because Shotzi, her style seems like an odd fit. Like, I think Shotzi would do really, really well in TNA, but her style with what WWE is trying to do just seemed like it's always seemed like an odd fit. And I hate saying that because I've enjoyed her on my TV every time she was on there. Tony, you got any thoughts on that?
I don't dislike Shotzi. I'm not a fan of hers. like my honest opinion of her, and this is very critical, and only as a fan of WWE since 1986, right?
Right.
I'm not saying she's bad, but she's not good in the ring.
Right. And I couldn't argue that.
Yeah.
And she's not good on the mic either. She's not even average on the mic. So, like, listen, this is another person that's going to go on and make more money somewhere else. So,
oh, she's additive value wherever she goes.
Yeah. I'll say, like she's a kamikaze daredevil type of wrestler, and they never figured, or she and they never were able to adapt that to basically to 7-minute TV matches. They were never able to adapt that in such a way that it was, you know, that it worked. And like, she had some scary moments out there during some of her matches, doing some of those dives. And yeah, there were a few times where it was like, oh boy. So yeah, I mean, I like Shotzi, but she was never able to adapt her ring style to what they need to do there. And so just, she never seemed to really fit. It was always kind of like square peg, round hole. I think she'd do really great in TNA. And back out on these like GCW or somewhere like that. But I just think, yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where like the idea of her was better than the reality that we saw. And, you know, that just kind of is what it is. So I guess, and honestly, I've been kind of figuring, just for a while, I figured that she might get let go. And then that year that she was in the War game, she had a nice run there that year. So I figured, okay, well, maybe they're putting it together for her. And then she got injured. So yeah, just, I don't think she ever really fit. And, you know, so just, I mean, it was, you know, it was worth trying, but hey, I just don't think she just didn't really fit there.
Yeah. Next ones I want to talk about real quick, and this is going to sound like such an asshole here. These, I'm going to collectively talk about these three people, because they are on my list of how did they last so long.
Uh-oh.
And Is it Gallus?
It's Gallus. And let me be very clear here.
Do I have permission to ring the bell on your show?
Go right ahead.
You can also have my time, because I think we're in the same boat. So I'll roll while you talk.
I have never felt it with Gallus. Now, let me be clear. When the bell rings, from bell to bell, as far as performing wrestling moves, Gallus is as good as anybody on the NXT roster. I have never, ever, ever felt it with Gallus. I've seen them live at the NXT shows at the Loop, and anytime they've ever come out, I'm like, okay, Gallus is here. And the crowd pretty much reacted the same. There was never any hype over it. I feel like there's, like, I look at Hank and Tank. Hank and Tank have a fraction of the experience that Gallus do collectively. I find Hank and Tank to be more entertaining. I find them to be more exciting, more fun on TV. And, you know, I know Gallus is not a quote unquote fun faction, but I just never felt it. And I look at other people on the roster who can do the moves well. And this is where, you know, the IWC gets lost in the sauce. They're like, oh, but they're really good wrestlers. Yeah, but where's the sizzle to the steak? Exactly. The charisma. Where's the sizzle to the steak? And Gallus had no sizzle, you know, and there was a report going out that certain talents were released because they were quote unquote lazy. And I want to talk about this for a minute, because the guys from Gallus have mentioned something about that. A couple other people have mentioned, Gigi Dolan has mentioned something about not being lazy. And I think laziness needs to be taken in context, because WWE, again, not only wants you to be able to wrestle well enough, they also want you to bring the charisma. They want you to bring a character. They want you to be able to talk. And if you're someone who just goes out and does what the boss tells you to do creatively, okay, yeah, you're delivering what they ask you to do, but are you bringing anything additional to the table? Are you bringing the sizzle to the steak? Are you bringing the seasonings? Or are you just going out there as raw meat? And I always felt like Dallas was raw meat. You know, something there, but they weren't quite finding it. And your job as a talent, yeah, the boss says, hey, you are this, and this is what I need you to be. But creatively, you also need to find a way to connect with the audience somehow. And I don't feel like Dallas ever did that.
Well, I think they're British wrestling guys.
They are. It's that British strong style. And that gets that's great across the pond.
Yeah, and that's – yeah, and that's – I think that's –
Look at where Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate and everybody but Gunther is. And Gunther changed his name 12 times, and we don't even care anymore. Who's Walter? I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's just what it is. I mean, look, if we were British and we were in the UK, and we would probably love those guys.
Okay? Yeah.
But we're not, and we're not over there, right? So, you know, just like, look, I mean, and that's true, I mean – look, there are Lucha guys that you got to be a Lucha fan to really enjoy. There are Japanese wrestlers where you got to really be into the Japanese wrestling scene to really appreciate and, you know, enjoy those people, right? That's just kind of what it is. They're British wrestling guys, and that's it. You know, and I kind of feel the same way about Pete and, like, the guys you mentioned, like
Tyler Bate.
Tyler Bate, and we got a Trent Seven who used to be there. That's kind of feel about all of them. It's like, okay, I mean, they're good for that, you know.
God damn it, Rob, we're American, and these colors don't fucking run.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, that's kind of how I feel when I see those guys.
Now that we've just pissed off the three British listeners,
like damn it.
Listen, hold on, I got them. Don't worry. We're friends with Podfather Mags and Kenny Killa. Those two names carry significant weight over there. BTW, Mount Rushmore, and Sunday Segway, by the way.
But
and now we're back. Now we're cool with the people over the pond again.
But look, we won the war, okay? That's what matters.
What the fuck, Rob? Rob, I'm out of Band-Aids now, you son of a bitch. I would have saved one.
Sorry.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Uh-oh, we lost our fearless leader here.
Uh-oh. okay, he's back.
Oh, he's muted, though, or we can't hear him.
So if you're across the pond and you're pissed off right now, you can make all your complaints to me. Okay.
We're sorry.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
All right, we're back on. Okay.
Bring us back from this spiral, DJ.
All right, let's get back in here. Let's talk a little bit more about this list. I don't want to go, you know, item by item, line by line again. You know, I feel how I feel about Gigi Dolan, but again, I feel like she's another one that, once she spent after Toxic Attraction split up, they started to try and do a singles thing with her, but then she was off TV forever, and I don't know whether she was injured or what the case was. I know she got married, and she spent a lot of time doing things with her new husband, but she just was not there. And I think it's one of those things where when you leave WWE TV, you kind of fall out of it. If you're not a top established act, you fall out of your lane. And it's very, very difficult to get back into that lane. And I think Gigi just had a hard time getting back in that lane.
Well, I think she was injured for a while, I think.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, she honestly, I think she just didn't really distinguish herself outside of any kind of groups that she was in. And she'd been there for a while, like, because we've been talking about those mainly women who had been there since NXT 2.0 started back in 2021, and how, like, a whole, for several of them, it was time to either, if you weren't going to either move them up or move them out. And she's part, you know, she was one of those people. And so her and then another one, you know, Cora Jade also was in that kind of group, either move them up or move them out. And, you know, she also got moved out. And that surprised me, because I thought, I mean, with the degree to which Cora was on TV and involved in all kinds of things, I thought she was pretty much, you know, made girl there, was going to be going up to the main roster. So I was surprised that they just released her.
You're talking about Jakara?
Cora.
Oh, Cora. I'm sorry.
Got two
Jakara, things going on. I feel that way about Jakara.
Oh yeah, well yeah, I do. Well, I did until when they broke up, when Metaphor just kind of broke up.
Yeah, then you kind of right on the wall.
Yeah. I got a little worried there because they got, you know, because Oro Mensa got released also. The only other one I really want to talk about, I mean, now they've already been kind of rumors that they might bring Braun back, because I think, look, that dude's knees are made out of sawdust.
Well, you heard the rumors that, like, he has 15% paralysis in his knees.
In one leg, yes. He said that himself. He said that out of his own mouth. That was like an interview.
I don't know him, but, like, I played softball against him way back, like, 20-plus years ago. I also, like, I know his cousin, Jordan, and I found out that he was Braun's cousin one day when we, after a game, we played against each other in a tournament, but we always hung out, so we're getting a beer afterwards. And he's a fisherman, and I was talking about how my cousin down in Florida is a marine biologist and just caught a shark, and I showed him a picture, and he's like, oh, that's crazy. He goes, my cousin works in Florida too. And I go, oh yeah, what does your cousin do? He goes, oh, he's down at NXT. And I'm like thinking, like, it's like, who, like, you know, bumfuck Bob or something, who the fuck knows who he is. And he goes, oh, Braun Strowman. I'm like, can you get him on my show? And he's like, probably not. I'm like, you son of a bitch. I go, I played against him back in the day. Oh, that's hilarious. So, but
can you guys hear me?
We can hear DJ now. Would you, DJ, you want me to go? Did you have more, Rob?
It wouldn't surprise me if they, like, brought back the Royal Rumble. Just his knees are basically sawdust right now. Yeah. And look, and he's at his size, he's 6'9", 300 pounds. That dude's going to be in pain for the rest of his life. And if he was barely mobile this time around. So he clearly can't do a full-time schedule. So I think with him, they'll bring him back for spot duty, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't worth paying him the money they were paying him if he can't perform at a level that they expect him to.
Legends deal, brand ambassador, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
with the freedom to go ahead, if someone wants to pay you enough to go do a spot somewhere, you can go do it. He'll be fine also. Right. Don't worry about him.
Oh, yeah.
Little known fact, his dad is one of the greatest men's softball players in the history of the United States of America.
Oh, that's crazy. Crazy little nugget. That's cool. The rest of the list, I don't have a whole lot to say. I mean, we've got guys like Eddie Thorpe, who we've had thoughts about on our show. Riley Osborne. Riley Osborne was an interesting one because when we talk about great wrestlers and great in-ring talent, but nothing else, he really tops that list. He and Axiom had a match at an NXT house show about a year or so ago. It's the first time I ever saw Riley Osborne. And right hand to God, in 40 some odd years of watching this, this was one of the best, if not best, live wrestling matches I've ever seen in my life. In front of 300 people, tops, these two went out there and tore the house down. Axiom and Riley Osborne did. And I remember saying something about it the next day in the chat, and Greg replied, he's like, who the hell is Riley Osborne? Because he hadn't even been on TV yet. But again, great, great, great talent. He was a nothing burger on TV. they tried with Chase Yu. He had very little charisma. Now, maybe he's got something buried. Maybe he's got to go out on the indies and find it. You know, sometimes you have to do that. But again, this is something that, you know, I feel like we need to point out that sometimes just being great wrestler guy, there are thousands of great wrestler guys in the business. You need to be a great wrestler guy that the crowd cares about. And beyond being able to perform the moves, which appeals realistically to a bubble, Riley Osborne just didn't have it. And, you know, there's a couple other people on that list that are kind of in the same boat. You know, Big Body Javi. I never saw it with him. Oh, yeah. They pushed him. He was a regular at my little house show circuit. And I'm watching this guy. I'm like, I'm not seeing it, man. I'm just not.
Yeah. And Oral Mintz is another one. Same thing.
He's another one.
Yeah.
I only got one. It's the main roster, though. Shayna Baszler could have been.
Oh, man. Yeah.
That is.
Like, I'm not surprised because they haven't used her, and like Pure Fusion Collective or whatever the fuck that was horrible.
Yeah.
Like, hear me out. Like, she should have been Kurt Angle meets Sting. Take the best of both worlds. Like, I mean, she can't be Kurt Angle on the mic, right? But she can be mysterious and have a mystique and an aura like Sting and get in the ring and be absolutely ferocious and vicious like Kurt Angle and legit. Right? It just never worked. It was spades in NXT, but not on the main roster. See what I did there? She was the queen of spades.
Oh, see what you did there?
She was
like
queen
that.
Of spades down there. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, and,
I cast a man, big net every once in a while they land.
Yeah. They had two chances really, if they wanted to really go there with her, they had two chances to do it. I mean, when she came out and she murdered everybody in the Elimination Chamber, they had something.
They did. It was there. And
even though there were a bunch of people crying because she beat up all of their favorite lady wrestlers. But, So they had two chances. That was one. And then when she beat Ronda and she knocked out Ronda and basically ran Ronda out of the territory. And then, like, a couple of nights later, they had her lose on TV. And then when that happened, I was just like, okay, they don't care.
Yeah. So. And when we – another thing that got kicked around, again, from the dirtiest of the sheets was that a lot of people were let go because of their ages, which was horse shit because aside from, like, maybe two or three, most of them were 30 and below. With Shayna Baszler being the oldest one of the group, who I believe is 42.
Let's see. Well, my thing with that is they just re-signed her last year. So if she's too old this year, then she was too old last year.
I don't believe for a minute that anybody's age was a real factor in anyone being released. I think if the dirt sheets came up with that, that is some press release that the company let them have. Is instead of explaining this, we let them go because of their age. That way you guys have something you can throw out there and get your clicks and views and your engagement traffic, and everybody ran with it.
So she's 44.
Okay, 40. So she's a little older than I thought she was.
But here's the thing. She was 43 last year. So if 44 is too old,
43 is too old.
You gave her a new contract at 43, but now 44 is too old? Really?
Yeah. One thing about Shayna, and I think
I turned 44 next week. Damn it.
Oh, look at you. Yeah. Happy early birthday to Tony.
I wasn't 51. Listen, I wasn't fishing for a happy birthday, but I thought that felt appropriate. Like you said, 43 is good and 44 is bad. I got like 6 days. I'm fucked.
Yeah, you're almost expired. Your expiration date's about to
I'm gonna need a new contract in the next 5 days for sir.
Yeah. what day is your birthday?
You're gonna have to do math.
Oh, because I'm the 13th. I'm on the 13th.
Oh, all right. I'm a couple days after you.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Yeah. One thing about Shayna was sneaky good on the mic. If Shayna had good material, she could go out there and make it work. She could go out there and cut a good promo, depending on. Now, I heard her cut some bad ones, you know, but I think some of that also may have been the material she was handed. I think her promos that she cut on Ronda, again, like Rob, gave me hope. They're finally going to do something with this girl. And then they just didn't. Like they built her up enough to run Ronda out, and then that was it. So
yeah.
I think Shayna would be a great fit in AEW. I think Shayna Baszler could go to AEW and make a ton of money over there.
Yeah. And I think, but look, she'll be fine. Because she'll probably do that blood sport thing.
Yeah. You
know, often, because she's been doing that already anyway. So
yeah.
I mean, so she's definitely going to go back and do some of that, and she can go back to Japan, and you know, so I think she's another one. You don't have to worry about her.
There's money for Shayna Baszler to make out there outside of WWE. I'm not worried about her future or her financials anywhere. So I don't want to talk anymore about that. What I want to do is go around the room. I want you guys to think about it for a second. I want you to think about three people on that list who you think might eventually come back to WWE at some point. And then we're going to go to commercial. And when we come back from commercial, we're going to talk Backlash. So I'm going to start with Rob. Three people on that list you think might eventually come back to WWE.
Okay, well, I already mentioned Braun for spot duty, so he's one. I think Cora's only 24. I think she will eventually make her way back. And one more. I'm gonna hold out hope for. I want Dakota to come back. Okay, I'm holding out hope for Dakota to come back. So I'm gonna pick her.
Okay, Tony.
I don't know that there is three that'll ever come back.
You don't think so? You don't think they'll go out and find themselves?
I'm rarely right, DJ. So, you know, don't put any credence in what I'm talking about here. But Rob's probably correct about Braun at some point in some capacity will be back with WWE on television. It's unlikely Shayna goes out and does the, you know, change and come back thing. I feel Dakota's the one that can Drew McIntyre herself. I don't follow NXT that closely. I just enough so that I don't look stupid. And this is one of those moments I kind of look stupid.
Well, just pick Cora, because Cora's only 24. Pick
her. Rob, don't tell me what to do, okay? Genius, and I should. You're a genius, and I should probably listen to you. But that's what I got. I'm sorry. Right. I got Rob to crack up. That's all that matters to me.
Yeah, I think Braun is kind of the obvious one, because he's already openly stated that they have an open door policy that if anything changes, hey, we'll call you or you call us. I'm going to throw one out there. I think Jakara is going to go out and find something. I think she's going to go out and find it because she's an amazing athlete. Like, I've been watching her since she was on Level Up. And when she first came out on Level Up, I'm like, this girl's got something. Maybe this is a starter gimmick that she's in now, but this girl as a person is going to go out there and figure it out. I think Dakota comes back. Those are my three. I have a theory on Cora Jade. I'm not going to speak it into a microphone. I don't know.
Oh, you can't say stuff like that on the air.
No,
I'm sorry.
Not gonna do it. You're not bait me.
I'm sorry. I come from the world of Andrew Blaz and Chris Platt.
So I don't think she'll be back anytime soon, but being that she's only 24 and people do mature, their attitudes change. She may eventually be back. And then that's all I'll say about that. So guys, I've got nothing else on the releases unless you guys want to throw any final parting shots on there.
No, I think we covered it, and we're almost out. We are literally on the clock here. So
yeah, we are. We're on the clock. So what we're going to do is take a quick commercial break. We're going to go to commercial. When we come back, Backlash is this weekend. We're going to talk about the card, give our predictions on that one. Before we go to commercial, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the T-shirt options available from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcasts, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We are represented there. Go there, check out a T-shirt, pick up a T-shirt. The starving artists on these shows will thank you. Your body will thank you if you spend a couple extra bucks and pick one up in soft style. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. We're going to commercial. When we get back, we're talking Backlash.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And we are back. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, again, part of the Chair Shot Radio Network, where we remind you and encourage you to always use your head. We are going to talk WWE Backlash, and man, this seems like a quick turnaround. It seems like we were just talking WrestleMania. We just got done with all that. We're 3 weeks later, and we have another premium live event with a lot of exciting matches and a lot of serious implications coming out of this one. Our resident genius has the card up here. He's going to take over this portion of the show. I don't want to go too deep unless there's something that we just get off on a tangent on. I'd kind of like to just go around the room and give our predictions. And if there's anything we want to talk about, we can just kind of shoot from the hip and play it loose here.
Okay. Well, because I think I mentioned this last week with whatever show we were doing last week. I forgot what show I was on with you guys.
You're on the big five. Oh, no. Damn it. You better remember, you got walk-on status, sir.
Look, dude, I was drinking Jack Daniel's straight to the head.
I suppose you were, you know what? You get a pass, you were drinking with Tony. Not everybody can handle it.
Okay, but I mentioned that, you know, we had the quick turnaround time, so they're going with people who are already familiar with each other for these matches, and which makes the most sense, because, again, we got a quick turnaround time. You don't have time to build anything from scratch in 3 weeks. So we've got, for the Intercontinental title, we got Dominic Mysterio versus Penta. And again, they've been going at it for a while now, so they are familiar with each other. They've been in the ring a few times. This is Dominic's first title defense, I believe, since he won at WrestleMania. I think Dom wins here, because I don't think you have him win at WrestleMania and lose 3 weeks later. DJ or Tony, you go.
I agree. I think Andrew brings up an interesting point that having Penta with that belt, and but you could do the same thing with Dom, go to AAA and use that belt to help promote that. You could do the same thing with Dom, right? I just don't see him. You know, the King of Chicken Tendies, he's gonna be on. And what the bigger reason I feel is because I think sooner than later, you're going to see Rey and Penta back together as a tag team. The division needs it, and they can always go back to singles stuff here. So I think now they've each had a title shot as well. So
yeah, and Penta's 40, so you can't wait with him. You got to do whatever you're going to do with him.
Okay. I think it's all going to hinge heavily on, one, obviously Penta's age, not knowing that, obviously factors in there. Two, where the Judgment Day storyline goes from here. I smell a double cross coming. You got to remember, months and months and months ago, when Liv and Dom first got together, there was a segment on TV with the hotel room key. And Finn Balor snatched up the hotel room key. And WWE has quietly forgotten that. But you know that Triple H loves long-term storytelling. I think somebody has been saving that in the back pocket for the right time to pull it out. And I think we could see that either Dom loses and Judgment Day just turns on him, or Judgment Day turns on him and costs him. Because also, tying into that, listen to the crowd reaction that Dom got at WrestleMania. Dom is over, and Dom is just about ready for that babyface run. And I think we might get it this weekend.
Okay, so that's two for Dom, one for Penta. All right, and next we have the four-way match for the United States Championship. Jacob Fatu versus LA Knight.
Who picked Penta?
He did. DJ?
Yeah, I think Penta wins.
Oh, you're changing your pick, huh?
Yeah, I think Penta wins. I think somebody turns on Dom and costs him. I think it's time for the Dominic Mysterio babyface run.
We got some problems with the chair shot staff picks accuracy then.
Uh-oh.
Oh, did I?
Oh, wait.
So if you're listening to the podcast, the network,
I changed my mind in 48 hours.
I got to check. Okay, I got my picks in front of me now that I sent you, so I don't contradict myself.
I shouldn't have called you out like that. I should have let it go. I'm sorry. I was like, No, because here's what happened. I thought Rob thought I picked Penta because it talked about Andrew picking Penta. I just want to make sure, like, everybody knows I got Dom. And just by the way,
okay,
it's 10-1 if DJ holds on to Dom. Otherwise, it's 9-2 in the chair shot pick.
Now I'm sticking with Penta winning this. I've changed my mind since I sent Tunney. Since I sent Tunney my picks 48 hours ago, I've had a lot of time to process.
Oh yeah,
I've had some alcohol since then.
I do it all the time. I wasn't trying to call you out. I'm sorry. I was really I accidentally called you out by just trying to confirm what I had said.
Yeah, but it makes for great content.
Okay. Fair.
Sorry, Rob.
And no problem. And okay, so next we have the 4-way match for the U.S. title, Jacob Fatu defending against L.A. Knight and Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre. And I got Jacob retaining. I think for me, this is my pick for match of the night. I think it's going to be the best match on the show, I think. And I got Jacob retaining for the same reason that I got Dom retaining. Just one thing 3 weeks ago. I don't see them taking it off of him that soon. So, Tony, go first this time.
This is probably the easiest one of the night. Dan agrees with you, Rob. He's calling for tables and chairs in this match and some carnage. I can't disagree with that. Jacob Fatu has this unique momentum that nobody else has right now. And I just want him to get away from his family and be on his own and see how high he can fly there, because I think he can. I don't mean away from them, like, just on TV, okay? He needs that support system. But I believe in him so much. Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest don't make sense. And I just think they're ready to bring LA Knight up to have some more world championship matches at a PLE with somebody.
Yeah, I think it was. And DJ?
Yeah, I'm on board with you guys. I think Jacob retains. I think Drew McIntyre and LA Knight can't, between the two of them, decide whose sword's bigger. And they end up kind of getting themselves taken out. And Jacob ends up pinning Priest here.
Can I say one thing? And this is the only time I'm going to do it. I want to pimp the chair shot staff picks because it's all of us, right? There is 11 of us that do it. And I'm going to try and continue it. And we come up with the collective pick from the chair shot, right? And the chair shot went 10-3. I didn't count the Randy Orton match because we didn't know the opponent when we did it. So the collective picks from the chair shot went 10-3. So I'm going to tell you that this one was unanimous by the chair shot, and that Dom was a 10-1. And Rob, you perfectly did this for me because those are kind of the easier ones that people are more expecting. And DJ does something that a lot of us do, and he probably believes it, but sometimes we just make the opposite pick because we look brilliant if we do, and no one remembers the other side of it. I do that all the time. But if you want to know the rest of the collective chair shot picks, go read the article at thechairshot.com, because I'm not going to tell you for the next three matches. I'll give you mine. I had to pimp the article.
Yeah, no problem. All right, so next, sticking with the mid-card titles, we have the women's intercontinental title match. We have Lyra Valkyria versus Becky Lynch. And I picked Lyra to win. I think Bayley returns and helps her win, because Becky's mentioned taking out the trash and getting rid of Bayley, and she's been mentioning Bayley a whole lot. And so I don't think she does that for Bayley to, you know, to not get involved some point in some kind of way. And I think this is the time to do it. So, DJ, you go first this time.
Oh, I think Lyra's retaining. I think Bayley comes and kicks the last out of Becky Lynch. I'm looking forward to it, man. I think you said that the men's U.S. championship match may steal the show. I told you guys on the first half of the episode, I'm turning the corner on Lyra Valkyria. I think her and Becky are going to have one hell of a fucking match.
Woo! She's the new world girl, right?
Yes.
Oh, yes. The bird lady, yes.
Don't call her the bird lady, Rob. She hates that.
Sorry, she doesn't like that.
Okay. So,
Tony.
Yeah. The women's IC title could use a Becky and Bayley feud over the belt, but think about what a disservice that does for Io carrying the Women's World Championship on the same show.
Like, on the same brand.
Yeah. Oh, goodness, that doesn't help. So that's why I don't think Becky wins. I think it's a big win for Lyra. I think Bayley has something to do with it, and it leads to a program with Bayley and Becky over the summer, culminating at SummerSlam. So I think that's my prediction, but what I think would be super cool is if Bayley came out and helped Becky win it, and they joined Seth and Braun with Paul Heyman and had a fucking two-guy, two-girl fucking, you know.
Danger. Boy, you could put that on the list of shit I didn't see coming.
I mean, is it a bad idea? Like, I mean, what kind of, and it wouldn't be a dangerous alliance. You can think of it that way, 2.0. It wouldn't be a new bloodline. It'd be something completely different. Like, they're not going to just retread it. Like, they're not going to put Paul with Seth and do the same thing. He's done something different every time. Like, Brock and Roman and Punk are all so uniquely different from each other. You know what I mean? So that'd be cool to see, like, two women. He had one before, never had two. But I think what's going to happen, I think Becky and Bayley feud is what's going to happen here. I got Lyra retaining.
I'm so glad that flew below the radar.
I missed
Rob,
it.
Rob, go ahead.
It was a dad-ass fucking reference under the radar, I think.
I hope one of our listeners picked it up. If you picked it up, please message me personally at the Mindless Pod because I want to know if you picked it up.
Don't worry. I checked the tape. I'm going to go back and find it. Including the break, it's probably about 54 or 55 minutes in, folks.
Rob, go ahead.
I think now we come to what is likely to start out as a competitive match, but will end as a summary execution, I think. And that is Gunther and Pat McAfee. I think Pat is going to do well for a little while. And then in the last 2 or 3 minutes, Gunther is going to kill him dead in the middle of the ring. What do you got, Danny?
I could say that Ray picked Gunther and said, Pat, 'twas a good life. Kayfabe rave, you know. Check out the Chair Shot staff picks. There's some really good quips from all of our guys here, including these two and Jason. If you want to hear Jason's picks and thoughts, Jason sends me more thoughts than anybody in total. I have to trim them, but I like doing it because I get a lot of awesome stuff from Jason. It's good, but Gunther, Pat's going to take time off. He needs more heat. The only way is if it's Goldberg that comes back.
Well, that's the rumor. That's
Andrew. Andrew and Greg have called it.
That's the rumor. It's just going to lead up to Gunther and Goldberg.
At SummerSlam? You think that's Goldberg's retirement match, SummerSlam?
Yeah, probably.
Can I ask you guys a question? Real quick, you can answer it. I want to put good vibes out and like a fun. It would be cool to think if this was true. That it's taken so long for Goldberg to finally looks like he's going to get a retirement match because him and Hunter and Big E have been tracking Big E's health because he really wanted to do it with Big E. And that's why they finally went, E's like, I can't do it. And Goldberg's like, okay, you just tell me who you want it to be. And it makes sense with Gunther, but like, that would be so heartwarming if it's true. It's probably not, but like, it's just a thought I had, and I've shared it with a bunch of guys on the network. I want to share it with you.
Okay. Well, I've always thought with Goldberg, it would go one of two ways. If he wanted to go out with his hand raised, they would just give him Austin Theory or somebody like that and let him murder Austin Theory for 2 minutes and then ride off into the sunset. But if he was up for putting somebody over, then, you know, you find somebody suitable who could take it and do something with it. I think Gunther is, because Gunther, like right now, because, you know, he lost the title, he lost to Jay. He needs to, for the next 6 months or so, he needs to just go around and just murder people. Yeah, you know. And so retiring Goldberg would be a good notch to add to the belt on that. And if you know, I'm assuming that Goldberg is up for doing it, or else, you know, I mean, look, at this point, if he didn't want to put somebody over, if he wanted to go out with a win, then he would get it, right? So he's got to be okay with it, doing this. So, I think to me it's cool. I've always been a Goldberg fan, and I've always, you know, I'm not a Goldberg hater, never have been, you know. And so for me, he's earned the right to go out however he wants to go out. And so I think, you know, if he's up for it, and then I think that's a suitable way to do it.
I'll give you mine. Okay. Gunther absolutely slaughters Pat McAfee in under 7 minutes. Pat gets a good minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes offense, and then he's dead in the water. As far as the Goldberg stuff, I think Gunther kicking out of the jackhammer right before he sends Goldberg to the nether realm is going to be money. Like, it really is going to be money.
Do I have permission? You're the third person to say his name. Do I have permission?
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'll stop. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I don't want him to kick out of it. I'd rather him just slip out of it and then put Goldberg in the chokehold. Don't kick out of the finisher. Don't do that. He's his retirement match. Don't kick out of the man's finisher. Okay.
Do we introduce Sundberg, or is Sundberg still trying to have a football career?
And that's the other thing I was thinking. If Sundberg is he's playing football at Colorado right now.
Yeah.
But
what does Gunther need?
Wins. Because he
needs a finisher.
Oh, well, yeah.
Why doesn't he beat Goldberg with the jackhammer and use that? He can jackhammer everybody.
Oh, that would be crazy.
That's the best thing Goldberg could give to the business.
Just give somebody the jackhammer. There you go. I like it, Tony. Okay. I like it.
And that brings us to the final match of the show. It will be John Cena and Randy Orton one final time for the, whatever they're calling that belt now, the undisputed, Count of Monte Cristo.
Monte Cristo is a good sandwich.
Let's just go back to calling it the SmackDown Men's Championship. Jason hates it when we do that. That's a nice callback to Jason.
Yeah. I think I got Cena winning for the same reason I have Jacob winning, and the same reason I have Dom winning. And the twist I think is going to happen here is I think R-Truth is going to help him win. Either whether it's inadvertently or Truth is going to think he's doing the right thing. I don't think Truth is going to turn heel, but I think Truth is going to somehow think he's doing the right thing by helping John Cena win, and I think that's what's going to happen.
Okay, I like that. I didn't even figure Truth into this. I've totally forgot they've had some TV time lately.
Yeah, and that's what I'm basing it off of.
Okay, all right, I like that.
So is that your prediction? Is that what
you're going with? No, basically, I think Cena wins. I think that's a foregone conclusion. More about the match. I want to see these guys turn back the clock because I personally feel like Randy Orton was always John Cena's Macho Man. He really was. Like, they were the Hogan and Macho of their era. I think Randy always brought the best out in John, and I want to see them do it. Well, both of those guys, north of 40, just south of 50, I want to see them turn the clock back one time and go out there and have one hell of a match.
Tony, what do you got?
Well, I agree with DJ. I think you're going to get a good 12 to 16 minutes of John and Randy putting it all, like, literally. Randy might have another match down in his career where he puts a little bit more into this, but it's not going to be by much. You're not going to see John put any more into the first 10, 12, 14, 16 minutes of this match than any of the other ones he's going to have. Him and Randy have the most history, right? I hope that's what we get. I want shenanigans at the end, right?
Definitely.
Randy Orton wins.
Oh.
You think Randy wins? Okay. That's an outlier.
By DQ. And John retained.
Not so much of an outlier.
So, yeah, it was fun for 5 seconds while I had you guys. No, because, you know, think about what's going on the screen, and they're showing you when Randy pulled shenanigans and slapped the ref and got DQ'd, right? Dan thinks John's going to try it, and the ref's not going to call for the DQ. I think that'd be perfect. But I think Travis Scott's the one that's going to come out, and it's just going to end up being a beatdown, and they're going to call
it. Travis had better start fucking heading to the ring now.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying. Here's an interesting thing about R-Truth. At the very least, R-Truth gets a title shot against John Cena. At the very most, R-Truth beats John Cena for that title at Ruthless Aggression.
I will die on the hill that R-Truth should win one major championship in WWE before he finally hangs it up.
Why can't the baddest of bad guys then beat, like, R-Truth the next night on Raw, and Cody Rhodes avenges him and is the one that gets the title back on the good side? It's just the
John
hugest...
John can win it back 24 hours later.
They don't... I get this is all set up for Cody, and I've said that all along. He beats Roman, he beats John, he beats Rock, right? And that's coming. Fine. But if he doesn't beat John and it's Truth and he avenges Truth after getting screwed over by whatever bad entity comes next, I'm fine with that because I love R-Truth that much. But at the very least, I need John Cena to defend this title against R-Truth on a Raw or SmackDown and give me something that at least R-Truth got a title shot against John Cena.
Well, I think that's absolutely coming. It's just a matter of which show it's going to be on.
God, I love that. And I would love it if R-Truth beat him and then the... 48 hours later on Raw, John can win it right back.
Well,
because it's forever in the history books that R-Truth was...
As long as it doesn't happen at Ruthless Aggression. So maybe if that happens before that and they do something fun like that, I am so down. I love that even better.
Yeah. I like it.
So that is Backlash, you know, barring some match that gets made tonight. That is Backlash, and so I think it's going to be a good show. Now, I think just because of this quick turnaround time and the fact that we got more coming in 2 weeks, you know, I think this might be one of those that we kind of forget about later on in the year. Not because it's bad or anything, but just because there's so much coming. So, you know, in the next, you know. But I do think, I think it's going to be good. I think it'll be a perfectly fine way to spend a Saturday evening.
All right. Tony, you got any last-minute thoughts on WWE Backlash?
No, I am super excited. If it's five matches, it's five matches. I'm guessing we'll get some fun, cool segment in between there. But I'm looking forward to it, man. It's going to be a fun show.
Yeah, I think it is too. Before we get out of here, Tony, one last time, do you want to plug the network?
Yeah, Chairshot Radio Network, all your favorite streaming platforms, just pick one and find us there. We got shows, great shows, just like the Mindless Wrestling Podcast covering wrestling. We cover sports and we cover entertainment as well with Bandwagon Nerds. So check that out. And at thechairshot.com, always use your head.
I'm going to go back around the room and thank my co-hosts this week, starting with our guest host, from the DWI podcast and so many other podcasts, the Big Five, so many other things going on, the oddities over there. PC Tunney, sir, thanks again for coming off the bench tonight.
It looks like we are getting a number one contender match. Nia Jax or Jade Cargill will take on Tiffany Stratton tomorrow night. So,
okay.
The match was scheduled for tonight, that number one contender match. So,
yeah, I guess it's been announced it's going to happen tomorrow. I just asked Grok if anything happened yet on SmackDown, so there you go. Follow me at PC Tunney, but more importantly, continue to listen to this show because it's fucking great. Jason, where the fuck are you? Go Boston, actually. I fucking hate Indiana.
And the host of Rob the Genius podcast, Mr. Rob, sir. Fun show tonight. I had a good time here.
Yes, and always good to have Tunney in the house. And A big middle finger goes to Skype for screwing up our program here.
We had to adjust on the fly, literally on the fly. And again, thanks to PC Tunney for coming in, helping out with the technical end of things. Very, very much appreciated while we embark on this new journey and try to find ourselves a different platform here to record this weekly show to bring to you each and every week without fail. We have been consistent. Even if we're not all here every week, this show has been consistently weekly for almost four solid years, and we plan on keeping that trend. We're very proud of that, not only for ourselves, but for you, the listeners that appreciate us. We like bringing you new content every week. Again, I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling, you can call it sports entertainment, you can call it whatever you want, but call it in a ring, and we are out of here till next week.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
T&Cs apply.